many reasons. First of all, I'd like to be one of the participants of the developing of Rwanda. And you cannot develop a country without manufacturing. So this is going to be an opportunity to work with many levels of women and impact so many other women who are less fortunate. So this is something that I've been dreamt of. I wanted something that I can produce, one raw material to like a finished product. And I always wanted to work with the women, especially the women in the rural areas.
Fina, when it comes to employment for women, what's the situation like for them in Rwanda?
The situation for women right now, actually, is one of the best in the world because our government is really encouraging and empowering women. A simple example, our parliament has more than 50% of women, but we still have a challenge of women, especially in high positions. An example of a brewery. Right now, I don't know any female brewer. So this is the right time for me and for anybody to take advantage of the policies of the government and encourage women to go up and show them that they can do what men can do.
Steve, when you heard about what Fina was trying to achieve, I mean, how did you and Bose get involved in this project, and how did you and Fina first meet?
Our brewery's just turned 10 this year, and we've always sort of had a mandate to be a positive impact in the communities that we serve. And as we hit sort of our 10-year milestone, we were really looking for a legacy project that would help make the world a better place, but then also be something that would get the whole company behind and get everyone aspiring to do more and to think sort of in broader pictures. And just as we were looking for this project, we came across Nancy, who works with the CG Group, which is a developmental organization that was doing a program in Rwanda trying to build entrepreneurship skills with women. And so she found Fina, and because she's based in Toronto, she approached us, and we instantly kind of fell in love with the idea, and it fit perfectly. So there was a lot of excitement from the very beginning because we were looking for something like this. We didn't know exactly what we wanted to do, but we wanted to do something really special in the global community. And when we found this, it was the perfect fit. It was exactly what we wanted to find.
And Steve, Bo does quite a lot in their local community, don't they, in terms of a lot of philanthropic work, but supporting a lot of community activities, events and organisations.
That's right. I've always said that beer tastes better when you can feel good about drinking it. We've now donated over $1 million to charities. We work very closely with very local charities, very grassroots things, everything from, you know, the church choir to, you know, very broad-based national projects. When we were sort of looking at the philanthropic work that we were doing, we kind of recognized that we were lacking a little bit in the global community. So this project is a way for us to recognize that while we need to make things good at home, we also have a responsibility to try to make the world at large better as well.
Fina, tell me about how this venture will work and about your Kickstarter program and sort of what is your timeline in trying to get this brewery up and running?
How it's working right now, well, we are still looking for funds, as you just mentioned, the Kickstarter. I was lucky that I'm here right now. I've never done a brewery, so I had time to go through the whole brewery at Bo's, meet different people from different departments, just touch base and just know a little bit about what is a brewery. And I've visited the different brew pubs and craft breweries also in Ottawa. Right now, we are thinking of giving ourselves almost like less than 1 year. We're thinking next year by July we should be open if all goes well. But we still have so many challenges. Among them is to find a brewer, a Rwandese brewer, female, and to have enough funds to like really be able to start.
We kind of expect that if the project was being fully funded sort of in a normal fashion, the total project would cost about $1 million, but the whole craft brewing community is kind of getting behind this project. There's an equipment manufacturer called Newland Systems that graciously offered to donate an entire brew house. That's a giant piece of the financial puzzle. The Kickstarter campaign is designed to raise the funds for the bottling line. And we'll be doing other fundraising throughout the course of the year for sort of the rest of it. And then Bose has committed to sort of fill in the funding gaps wherever they might be.
I'm Rhianna Patrick and you're on ABC Local Radio and my guests are Fina Uineza and Steve Beauchesne, who is the CFO of Bose All Natural Brewing Company in Canada. And Fina is the driver behind the Rwanda Craft Brewery Project, which is trying to establish a woman-owned craft brewery in Rwanda. Fina, when it comes to beer, what is the beer drinking culture like in Rwanda?
It's big. It's something which is traditionally known from a different beer probably, but beer has always been there. We brew beer from sorghum, from banana. Anytime there's an event, a wedding, there's always people have to share beer. There's a saying that beer is a family get-together. It's something which has been there well before colonization.
Steve, listening there to Fina about just how important beer is to Rwanda is a little like how important beer is to Australians as well. And I gather that Canada is the same in that. Steve, is there something that breaks down those barriers between whether it's languages or coming from different countries where a beer really does open up a conversation?
What was amazing to me is when we found out that Rwanda had a very similar culture and attitude towards beer. I've always felt that beer is something that, more than the liquid, there's something really visceral about beer. It's kind of the same as, you know, when you smell a wood-burning stove on a cool night. You know, it just brings back all these emotions that are tied. And I think it's tied because it connects us through the generations, something that a human civilization has grown up with. And because of that, it's one of these things that is so special. That's why, to me, it's so special to have and so important to have local breweries, because when you have that real connection, that real relationship with the person that makes your beer, it really transforms the experience. And that's what we're hoping to bring to Rwanda, and that's what, you know, I think Fina's dream is going to achieve.
Steve, when it comes to some of those challenges, I mean, you've pointed out there that you're looking for a female brewer, you need to raise the money to be able to do this. But what are some of those other things that you need to consider when you are in the business of beer?
Yeah, there's a lot that's going to be, I think, challenging in terms of introducing craft beer into Rwanda, because as Fina mentions, right now the offerings that you find are very much like it was probably 30 or 40 years ago, definitely in North America, and I'm guessing in Australia as well, where, you know, one or two global companies make all the beer, and most of the beer tastes pretty much like the other beers. So the concept of craft beer, drawing from local traditions and creating new flavors and, you know, creating something extra special, is going to be new. And then there's the market challenges. On top of that, there are differences in Rwanda. One of the interesting things I found is that most places you go when you order a beer, they'll ask if you want it warm or cold. And there's definitely differences to the drinking culture there that Fina is going to need to be our expert on. Those are things that, you know, I know how to market and sell beer well in Canada, but that doesn't necessarily always translate. So that translation will need to be there. And market acceptance is going to be a challenge. The regulatory market in Rwanda seems very open, so that's a business challenge that we were expecting, that we're actually pleasantly surprised won't be there. There's very little corruption in Rwanda. There's basically none. It's a very safe country. It's a very safe environment, but it's also landlocked. So getting things into Rwanda can be incredibly challenging, and the purchasing value of the dollar is not great. So we need to, as much as possible, source everything from within Rwanda, or else the challenges are going to become very difficult to work with.
Steve said, right now in Rwanda, it's something new, the craft beer. It's going to be a challenge, as you said, to market it, but now everybody's excited to know that there's a beer made by a Rwandese. And there's also a campaign of Made in Rwanda. The government is encouraging very much anything made in Rwanda to start reducing import, because we do import almost everything. And Steve mentioned we are landlocked, so it takes a lot of foreign exchange from our country. So I think, yes, it's going to be a challenge, but also it's an excitement.
So, Fina, there really is a market there for something that is made and owned by Rwandi.
It's something we're going to educate people. but it's something which is coming up.
So, Fina, what's the level of research that you've had to do for this? Have you had to drink a lot of beer to find out what is in the market?
I owned a restaurant for 13 years. At least the beers that I sold, I knew about all of them. And when I came to Boz, I had to taste all of them.
Oh, damn.
And as part of the research, I made sure that I tried every beer in every pub in Kigali.
Good,
I'm
yeah.
I'm doing my part, too.
And Fina, how did he go with that? He just mentioned there that there's you can have it warm or cold. How did he go with that change?
It was, but I think he really enjoyed the whole trip. It's always a shock for North Americans, even Europeans, when they come, because anything we drink, whether it's water, soda, juice, or beer, they always ask you cold or warm. Room temperature or cold? But that's the way we serve our drinks, our beverages.
So, Fina, there already is a culture of beer making in Rwanda. You mentioned there the bananas. Is that something that you have to look at as part of this brewery, is what you're going to use that is available in Rwanda to make beer?
Definitely. We're looking at any raw material that we can find in Rwanda. That's our priority. We're already trying cassava, we're trying banana, we're trying sorghum, we're trying maize and millet. Those are four or five ingredients that we can have in Rwanda. And we are doing recipes with those ones. And even if we have to import something, but mostly we will use raw materials.
The brewing team at Bose has been having just an absolute hoot with Fina, because we don't normally get to work with things like cassava and banana. So it's really challenging our brewing team as they're working with her to develop these recipes. But it's also really important that this is where a big piece of the impact is going to come for this project, because one of the interesting things about Rwanda is they've got grower co-ops which employ women to do a lot of the harvesting. And it helps bring impoverished families out of poverty, because it also includes all sorts of services and education and really lifts entire families out of poverty. Yeah. So while the brewery's going to employ a certain number of people, the multiplier effect of having all of these families in the harvest process, harvesting locally grown ingredients, is going to make the impact of this not, you know, dozens of people, but hundreds of people, hopefully.
Steve, on that, Bose is a family-run, organic, independent brewery. What is the level of involvement that Bo will have with this Rwanda project once it's up and running? And I know you're helping with the beer side of the business and those sorts of things, but I've also noticed that in that Kickstarter video too, you're very clear that this is not about Bose taking over. This is very much about Fina and those people in Rwanda that will be working as part of this, of really driving that project, and you're kind of just there for the support and the help of that. Is that right?
That's right. We're not taking any ownership and we're not taking any profits out of the business. Our role is going to be relatively intensive at start. We're doing the training, so building the skill set within Fina and her team. We're also arranging for the financing of the brewery. There's going to be all the installation, the troubleshooting, getting everything off the ground. And then over time, the goal is to sort of gradually fade into the background. Although it's become very clear to me that while, you know, sort of from a project perspective, this is probably a 2 to 5 year project, it's very clear to me already that I've made a lifelong friend. And, you know, I expect that this will be something that we'll keep in touch now for
forever.
Our lives.
Yeah, I think this relationship is something which is going to last forever. I don't think it's going to be determined by 1 or 2, 3 years. Yes, for accompanying us in helping to build this, but my wish is one day I can collaborate with Bose, one day I can be maybe exporting beers to Canada, and I don't think this is a relationship that can ever finish, because this is something that they have, it's a landmark, it's something they have started, that it's a very inspirational move that they have done, that I want anybody who is going to work for this brewery in Rwanda or anybody who is going to be part of it to know about Bose and what they have done. So I don't think it will ever end.
Fina, some might say that you're a brave woman for taking on something like this, but you're no stranger to setting up businesses that don't exist in Rwanda. And you mentioned they're your restaurants. Is it right that you set up the first Chinese restaurant in Kigali?
I owned our first Chinese restaurant in Kigali. I don't know if I can say I'm brave, but I like being an entrepreneur. I like working for myself. I like challenging myself.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, that is a massive challenge, opening your own brewery.
It is a massive, but I was lucky because I am not starting it alone. I have really a big support from Bose and so many other people from the brewery family. So I'm actually lucky. I'm a lucky woman. This was going to be very hard and tough if I had started it by myself. But right now, I think I'm well equipped with the people who have experience.
And Fina, what's the tipping point that you need for your Kickstarter to really see this dream become a bit of a reality?
The Kickstarter, which is for the filling equipment, is $95,000.
With Kickstarter, it's kind of an all or nothing thing. So if we don't get enough pledges to hit the 95,000, then we don't get any of it. So fingers are crossed that we'll hit the 95,000 threshold. We're seeing good response in the initial days, but there's still a lot of fundraising that we need to do to get to that 95,000 mark.
And I suppose keeping the momentum going as well is one of the things, isn't it, with crowdsourcing or crowdfunding, is keeping people donating and trying to really keep heading towards that goal that you need.
Yeah, that's always the big challenge. We've definitely caught a lot of people's interest with this project and with the Kickstarter campaign, but now we need to translate that into the donations and keeping people motivated, and motivated not just to share the link, which is great, but then to also put a few dollars towards it. And what we're finding a lot of success with is people that get excited about the project, instead of just donating a little bit of money themselves, they'll get together with their group, whether it's their workplace, their social friends, and they'll kind of say, well, let's all put in $20. And, you know, if there's enough of us, that's $1,000. And we've got probably 5 to 10 different groups that have all committed that they're doing it. So we haven't seen those dollars kind of show up on the website yet, but that seems to be a much bigger impact when we can do it that way, because it's, you know, one person can then harness 20 people's interest levels and they do something fun together, raise a bit of money, and then put it into the program.
And Fina, what do you hope this program gives to Rwanda?
A lot. First of all, there's the confidence in women, like younger women. For me, it's something that they will look up to and say, oh, if Fina can do this, so they can. And maybe they will start thinking, right now, most of the people think we have to study law, business administration, you know, the management, these classic things that now they can think, oh, you can be a brewer, you can study this, you can be a technical person. And apart from that, it's going to employ more people, as Steve said, in the rural area, when the group of women put them together and then they can start growing the raw materials. That is a very big impact, because you can see a woman who cannot afford to take the kid to school or to get the health insurance or just to buy food, have 3 meals a day. When you see this happening, you feel satisfied that you've done at least a little bit of a share on the development of your country.